When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Here we go. It's hour one, GBAG Nation, 105.3 The Fan. Thanks for making us part of your day. We do have Mike McCarthy's press conference coming up at 3:45. We have Mark Schlereth at 4:40. General at your service. There's Bras, former Cowboy Scout, NFL executive. He's going to have Krusty's Corner probably a little before, a little after the McCarthy presser, then more with you at 5:30. So he's already seen the film and is prepared to break it down. There's Lucius Alexander in the Pimp Cup over there. Master Control here, 75 and Fitz. You fixing to go 5 hours flawless. You have Woolchuck and Chia follow. Carter Freeman is coordinating your video. You can watch us at 105thefan.com, Twitch, and YouTube. You know, I'm pretty immune to the emotional swings from Cowboys games, but that one got me last night, dude. That was quite a ride.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my goodness gracious, dude. I think it got Jerry, too. He was flustered up there.
For sure.
Just the ways that game was coming to an end. You make the plays. You're ready to win. And, you know, I thought the Bengals were snake bit a bit, but apparently the Cowboys are just a little bit more.
Well, it seemed like, every single time they're going three and out, I mean the Cowboys, you're not expecting the defense to get another stop. Yet the defense gets another stop. You're about to get the football back. I'm looking at Brian and Tim Collins, our APD, because now we're downstairs in the Miller Lite Field Club for the last few minutes. We got to get down there to get ready for the postgame. He's like, I smell overtime. I'm like, haha, no. Yeah. Brandon Aubrey, game-winning field goal. Let's go. Then they block the punt. It's like, woo, euphoria.
It's over.
Oh, my God, he touched the ball. No, he did not. Are you kidding me? Leon led all over again. And, yeah, that was it. I mean, there goes Jamar Chase. Bye-bye. I think Deron Bland's still stuck in the turf there at AT&T Stadium. And you knew Cooper Rush was going to vomit all over himself in that situation. They did. Yeah. The first play to CeeDee Lamb, I'm thinking, okay, maybe, but I shouldn't have.
No.
I got sucked right back in there, and then it was sack, 3-yard run. I'm just, okay, just,
worst
run,
throw of the
just
night.
Run the damn clock. Just run it out.
Yeah.
Just run it out now.
After seeing the botched punt fiasco and then seeing Jamar Chase go house call on you, there was still a glimmer after a 14-yard lamb catch for Walchuk and the Hopium.
Like,
dude,
I said, I was like, Brian, that's the perfect thing. Just let him score. You still got a minute. Maybe. Just maybe.
Yeah.
But no, I'm a dummy.
You're a sick, sick puppy.
I am a sick man.
Well, you know, anything can happen late in a game like that. What concerned you more, though? Do you have the special teams play or just McCarthy not running the ball more throughout the game? Dowdle ends up with 18 carries and 7.3 an attempt. If I'm Jerry, I'm like, that's probably it today. I can't justify it again, and it would anger me so much I'd have to let him go.
Yeah, I think
it's insane, dude.
I think the empty possessions. I know Zach and I talked about this last night, and Brad Sham even brought this up. The two possessions right before the end of the half, empty
awful
possessions, and then in the second half you come out and you score. But then, you know, your defense kind of finds a way. I mean, they have...
You held the Bengals to 20 points.
They have,
effectively.
Yes, we would have all said that's a win. If they were able to do that, they're going to win this football game.
How many times have we seen this defense all of a sudden? They throw the ball out in the flat. It looks like a fumble, but then it's ruled not a fumble. So then they have to come back and play again. Usually you're thinking, oh, they're going to have a big play now. They're just not going to catch a break. But they go out and they sack Burrow. You know,
get away with a face mask.
Exactly. A face mask. I mean, a bad face mask. You know, so Scott Novak's crew was kind of, hey, they helped you a little bit. They hurt you a little bit yesterday. But still, the empty possessions against one of the worst defenses in the league. Everybody in the league has moved the ball against these guys, you know, and you ran the ball well enough. And what bothers me so much is that 5:31 mark. where you had a chance to say, you know what, Mike McCarthy, you know what, the one thing that we're doing well today, as I look at the Cheesecake Factory menu that I have in front of me,
yep,
with all the plays on it and stuff, and maybe I've circled a couple of running plays that have been really good to me today. And that last 5:31, you could have said, let's see if we can just kill this clock with, yeah, a 4-minute offense, running the football with Rico Daddle, maybe mix in a pass or two, get this thing in the field goal range, make them use all their timeouts, and kick this thing and get out of here.
Yeah.
He couldn't even get him to that. He called the first play correctly with the 14-yard run, and then you're thinking like, okay, here we go. Mm-hmm. He's gonna play 4-minute offense.
They here. Can't tackle. This is amazing.
It's incredible. It is incredible. And then three straight passes, and you're punting back. And I'm like going, yeah. And I looked at Zach. I go,
they don't deserve to win.
I go, they lost the game right there.
Yeah.
That's where they lost the game right there to me. But I just look at that. It's not all about AO and the, you know, I mean, because let's be honest with you. And you go back and watch the film. Nick Vigil, even though he blocked the punt, his technique on blocking the punt, if he has his hands together, you know, in a diamond fashion, he's going to block. And if you don't put your hands down, if you just extend your hands, ball goes straight down and probably goes back. By having hands apart and swatting down, ball's going to go forward, you know? So, I mean, here they are, they get the block. And you're.
It happened in 2021.
It absolutely.
You should make this a point of training camp and like every game remind the guys, hey, if we get a block, then everybody scatter.
Nick wins. I mean, he wins right off the jump. It's so quick.
Great play.
Just so
and the,
quick.
The body awareness to like duck out of the way and not hit the punter was
great.
Stay
off the punter. But if he just extends instead of going down with his hands separated, the ball then goes forward. The second hop's what got AO. Yeah. I mean, the first hop.
Well, he shouldn't have been around for the first hop.
That's what I'm saying. But if you watch on tape, you got Leofau, and then you've got Turpin running. I mean, sprinting to like get away. I mean, he's flying, and by the time he gets there, it's too late. But you feel like, whoa, hey, we got this thing done.
I wanted to cap Fossil when he insisted on Greg Zuerlein being the kicker 2 years in a row. You know, I was ready to move on then.
But, yeah.
I don't think that, you know, he has any shot after that. I guess Jerry Jones went up to him in the post game and said, are you coaching this or what? And, you know, Jerry backtracked that a little bit this morning.
He did.
Saying he understood. But, you know, I just think some of these things are, you know, undeniable for Jerry Jones. And I felt like he felt like his ability to keep Mike McCarthy was slipping through his fingers last night.
Yeah, I to me personally, in that football game, you could talk all you want about the special teams play, but your defense.
Yeah.
You go into this game, if we were all thinking that, hey, you hold Joe Burrow to 20 points going into the fourth quarter, late in the fourth quarter. You're thinking when? Because we went around the room and like thinking, how much do you have to hold? 28, 26. You know, we were calling that because in our minds, we're thinking they're going to score 30 some odd points here. You know, and Dallas's ability to play defense when they needed to get some pressures, to get a turnover. You know, Chase and Burrow are going to kill you. You knew that going in. I mean, you look at Chase against all the cornerbacks that he played against.
Oh, he had a catch against everybody.
There's 12 targets, 10 receptions.
Yeah.
Against all three of the starters.
I think Cooper Rush was shook. You know, I don't know. Does he got the Kirk Cousins thing where primetime football got him? Has he ever won a primetime game? I don't know. I'd have to look back.
Sunday night game.
That was the least accurate I've ever seen him. Like, one thing he should be able to do is hit targets. You don't like his decision-making. You don't like his mobility, but that was horrible.
The interception was really strange because they're going to try and run the wheel. And they're going to run the wheel with Ferguson, and it's like they're using Lamb as a pick.
I know. He's throwing it to the wrong guy.
So he's throwing it to a guy that's not even – like, Lamb's trying not to get, like, interference. You know, offensive interference, like, showing he's a pick.
Yeah.
He's trying to set up, but the ball is, like, goes towards him. And you're like, wait a minute. You just designed this thing to throw the wheel. They run another play late in the game where they go 8-man protection, and it's going to be a deep shot to Cooks. He doesn't even throw. It's check down, but yeah, check down to Daddle. You get 10 yards, but that's a home run play. You got the safety's hips face to the sidelines, and now you got Cooks running an arrow straight, you know, through. We've seen Dak like kind of roll to his right and launch the ball all the way to the left to Cooks.
Yeah,
same type of route with 8-man protection. He doesn't even think about it. Mm. He just checks the thing down. some things happen to him during the game. I think he gets spooked. I really do. For a veteran quarterback that's now played a lot of games, he does get spooked.
Well, it was a really, really tough defeat to accept there last night. And then, you know, they go into Sports Center, and that's all they were talking about was the special teams play, getting everybody's perspective on it. Then the Overshown injury comes in, and that's tough. But once again, the game played out exactly like Brian told you all last week. It was incredible, wasn't it? I mean, the ability to run, you know, and some really good things I feel like are coming along for this Cowboys team. It just wasn't for them last night. I think with Dak Prescott, they win this game very comfortably.
Yeah, the thing about it was, though, they've gone to Rico Dowdle way too late.
Yeah.
You know, and whether the front office has convinced the head coach that he needed to play Zeke, you know, now that they've kind of figured out that 70% of the carries need to be going to Rico Dowdle, they run the ball better, and they got a healthy right guard. They were playing with three backup offensive linemen last night and moving
still
the ball.
Still running the ball.
Is BB okay?
He got concussion, so, I mean, I don't. It's a short week. I'd be surprised if he plays against Carolina.
I would be surprised, too. I really would.
I'm not seeing that much of a difference, though, when you get Adoga out there, when you got Hoffman in there, when you have to.
It's kind of a tough. It's kind of a bully offensive line.
They're better at run blocking.
Yeah, I mean, Steele had another pretty good game. I'll tell you this though, and they're showing a replay of the game right now, and CD just caught the 4th and 2. See, to me, this is when we were kind of, and Eric, you and I were in the pregame. What do we think about? And we talked about it as a group. And I asked you guys the question, does Mike McCarthy need to think about being more aggressive because you're playing Joe Burrow? I give Mike McCarthy credit for 4th and 2 and calling that play right there, the corner route to CeeDee Lamb, because of how that thing all worked out. And that's why I kind of felt like he needed to kind of, that's what the game plan needed to be. But man, there's time with this game. I think I don't know what it is. I don't know how he loses track of the path that he needs to be on to win these football games.
Yeah, I think right now, you know, the idea of Mike McCarthy returning as head coach is so far remote. I think, you know, at bare minimum, if you had a different play caller with a completely different OC, if Jerry Jones wanted to try to sell me on that, I guess I would still accept it. Yeah. Like, okay, you know, it could be worse, you know, turning you loose against a sea of candidates. I think I would like that, you know, if they brought back the OC, but man, he's got some serious shortcomings. I thought that was criminal last night, not running the football more.
Yeah, it absolutely was.
When you're getting over 7 yards per play when you hand it to a guy, that's the blinking red light to keep going. You have the best offense in the league if you're going 7.5 yards per play when this guy touches the football.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
In 18 carries, they ran the ball 25 times. What was that magic number?
30.
30, right. I mean, it's inexcusable. They had a net passing yardage of 166. They ran for 156. The passing game is not doing anything for you. And Cooper Rush isn't even pushing the ball down the field.
No.
Just turn around and hand the damn ball
5.4,
off.
5.5, an error completion there. Come on.
I mean, you stress the, you know, team football, and you're screwing your defense.
Yeah.
The defense goes out there, is making big stop after big stop, and then here you are rewarding them with a 3-and-out. They started both halves well, first time all season.
Yeah.
They scored just to open both halves, and then they kicked a field goal on their next drive. Then after that, it was 3-and-outs. It's like they just lose momentum. They lose rhythm. There's just no flow when
you
it comes to the
game. You said it last night. You leaned over to me and says, I've never seen an offense that loses momentum faster than this
one. It's like stuff's working. They just decide, well, we need a tendency breaker, and then it's just everything goes to hell.
First 15 plays of the game, CeeDee Lamb has 5 targets for 71 yards. Yeah. I saw this from Tom Downey. And the final 45 plays of the game, he gets 2 targets for 22 yards.
And he had an Oklahoma run, a CeeDee Lamb.
Oh, that was amazing. Yeah.
CeeDee, for the TD.
Joe Buck said he might be gone. Hey, can we get the next gen miles per hour on that play? Yeah, I would love to know what he touched off at, because I'm just trying to figure out, like, is Tyreek Hill scoring on that play? Joe Buck is literally calling. He might score. And then it was like, quick. Well, he's definitely not going to score. He's down at the 20, Joe.
Hilton got him, the nickel corner.
Yeah, he had a great angle on him and everything.
Yeah. CD was, he was trudging. I mean, he really was trudging along.
Okay, while you look that up, let me hit you with the rest of the day news. Morning news headline, decision time for Rangers and Evaldi Wolchuk. I know we got our eyes on that. They've been in contact all offseason. That was part of the story, so that's good. It seems like they're having good, healthy communication. CY said he does believe that even though the TV deal isn't totally sorted, he has confidence that they'll have the money to do what they need to do, and he said they're here to find good players, and we feel like we're going to be able to do that. So we're keeping an eye out for any possible Rangers news. Quarterfinals of the NBA Cup tonight, Mavs and Thunder and OKC, chance to pull even in the loss column. How much better, do we know yet, how much better has Caruso and Hartenstein made this Thunder team?
It's quite a bit better. Like they were a great team when it comes to getting steals last year. Now they're on pace to maybe being the best ever. Wow. As it pertains to that. And then Hartenstein, it makes a huge difference on the offensive glass.
Okay.
So, and that was a part of the reason why you're able to win that game the last time around. Hartenstein didn't play.
Man, they really matched up with him so well. They totally dismantled him, you know?
Yeah. And Caruso didn't play in that game either.
Yeah.
No Caruso, no Hartenstein. And so that was big. Obviously, you didn't have Luka, so that's the biggest thing. But PJ Washington had a huge game, and I don't know if he's even playing tonight.
Yeah, he's questionable. Hardy and Najee Marshall are both out already, so it's going to be tough to gather many hard takeaways. And what we've seen from this Mavs team in the postseason is they learn over the course of the first couple of games, and they're able to make adjustments and, you know, take them from there. But this is a big opportunity. You know, I'd love to see them, you know, get this win here, move even in the loss column, and give us a chance to be in first place for a while. That's when it gets really fun as a sports fan, when you can kind of strut through the regular season. And I'm hoping the Mavs can give us that experience.
And then you're really just asserting your dominance. And now OKC, a young bunch, has this obstacle in their brain. We can't beat you, dude.
Yeah.
We can't beat you.
That's a great
point.
And
that's two teams, because Minnesota, I feel like, has that already.
For sure.
G-Bag of the Day is coming up at 2:30. Where are we going next, Zach?
Let's do a little Chuck Wagon. We got the MLB Draft Lottery. Why the Yanks might have missed out on Soto and the most expensive college football playoff ticket. Can you guess which game it is? That's next.
All right, welcome back.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching. It's better
over here. Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
G-Bag Nation. G-Bag the Day is coming up here in just over 8 minutes. Segments brought to you by the Frankels. Life's unpredictable. Accidents happen. If you or a loved one is injured in a car truck wreck due to somebody's negligence, call the Frankels and get a free consultation, 214 or 817-333-3333. Go to frankofirm.com. It's also brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today at carsforkids.org. Okay. Yeah, here's Wolchuk with the Chuck Wagon.
All right, let's start with some baseball news here on your home of the 2023 World Champion Texas Rangers. Of course, we got the winter meetings that are going on just up the road here in DFW, but we do have the Major League Baseball Draft Lottery, which is going to be at 4:30 today. Rangers are going to have Ian Kinsler as their representative. They've got a 2.5% chance to get that number one overall pick, but maybe nice. they can get lucky. Who knows? Jump right up there. White Sox will not be eligible. A's are not eligible as well. You can't have three straight years in the lottery when it comes to the revenue sharing money, so they're not going to be options for this right now. The Rockies and Marlins have the two best odds to get the lottery. So coming up probably during the top 10 at 4:20.
Is there we'll a big get? To have?
That's a tremendous question. I have not done a ton of look. I think right now, last year it was Oregon State infielder Travis Bezanna. He was the pick. I don't know who's the favorite to go number one this year. I'm not really. And when it comes to like the high school and the college stuff, I think teams just look at that differently. Plus, like the slot money, some teams are open to paying more, some teams aren't. So then you have guys end up being surprised number one pick. So we'll see. Do you got it?
Yeah, younger brother of Jackson Holiday, Ethan Holiday.
Ooh, okay.
And this guy is in Stillwater, Oklahoma, so I'm sure he'd be stoked to be here.
So we're asking who the best player of the draft is?
Yeah, yeah.
All right,
yeah, get us some information on that. That'd be fantastic.
I was working on something else. I'm sorry about that.
Because the Rangers are going to end up having another high pick this year, so come the draft in July, we'll be able to maybe enjoy and get ourselves another potential stud in that lineup. Now, the big news was, of course, with the Yankees, but we're monitoring Nathan Eovaldi and what's going down. Yankees, I think, are also monitoring that. So are the Braves right now. There were some rumors out there that the Braves met with Evo. I also did see that Max Fried could be a backup plan for the Rangers, potentially, if Evo doesn't end up signing. But here was CY with MLB Network earlier talking about the Rangers' offseason plans.
Certainly, I think with every offseason, it feels like pitching is a priority, and that's no different this offseason. We've got a number of arms that were our free agents in our bullpen, so we're focused on building out our bullpen, and then we're focused on adding our starting pitching to our starting pitching depth as well. So, certainly Evo has played a big role for us the last 2 years, and is just a tremendous person and competitor, and there are a lot of good names out there, so we're engaged on a number of levels with both teams and free agents and doing anything we can to upgrade our pitching. And then we'd like to also upgrade our offense, too. We're looking for bats. We feel very good about the core position player group we have. But that said, we're open-minded in any way we can to improve our offense. Last year, we felt like we took a step back offensively from where we were in 2023. 2023, we felt like we were close to an elite offense. And for us to be successful moving forward, we feel like we need to get back to being close to an elite offense. And so we're focused on upgrading there, too.
So everything seems to really be on the table. I know Boach was also talking about bullpen today, but I think that's where they're going to start, is pitching, bullpen, and then there's the Nathaniel Lowe potential trade. And I think trading is where maybe you would see a bat get acquired there. But I saw Jeff Wilson when he was listening to Joel Wolf, the agent for Roki Sasaki, the Japanese pitching phenom. He said a smaller market with a smaller media pool might be more to Sasaki's liking. Also said that he doesn't need a team with a Japanese mentor or be on the West Coast.
Okay, so we got a shot.
They might.
I think if they do sign Eovaldi, would that eliminate the possibility? Or maybe if you don't get a pitcher here, it raises their urgency. I think those two things, there's quite a bit of correlation in there. It'll be interesting, Eovaldi. I think you're going to have to match the highest offer. There's like a list of 12 teams that are interested, including the Red Sox that he's played for, and the Braves that have to be quite attractive.
Yeah.
I think at 25 or under, though, it's a bargain for everything that you get along with the production, leadership, and how important he is. I believe in those kinds of leaders when it comes to building a championship organization. I think that's why they did it, after such a disappointing regular season. It was clutch guys and big-time winners.
I agree.
Fried's a winner, too, though, with the Braves.
Yeah. Fried's a Cy Young guy. I mean, that wouldn't be a bad fallback option. So hopefully we get something, maybe even tomorrow while we're out there at Globe Life Field for the toy drive. Mm. Maybe we get something breaking, but hopefully the Rangers start getting involved here in free agency. Now, the big fish was Juan Soto. Rumors are the Yankees blew this because they didn't want to give up a suite I guess Aaron Judge pays for his suite. Derek Jeter pays for his suite. They didn't want to just give Juan Soto a suite. Mets certainly threw that into their offer. Brian Cashman, Yankees GM, says, I mean, he feels good about everything that they tried to do. Mets just offered a year less. Yankees were going 16 years. Mets went 15 years at 765. But, man, if this really ended up kind of being tilted over, we're not giving Juan Soto a free suite at Yankee Stadium. That's a little bizarre if that's the case. But I don't know.
A lot of other things you're giving them, like a lot of money.
Yeah, like why would you just throw the suite? Yeah, but that's exactly their thing. Like, one, you can buy the suite.
Buy a suite.
Aaron Judge, he's not, we're not giving him one.
Yeah. Hey, Holiday, is that the kid's name?
Yes.
Holiday? This is coming from the Anatole across the way from
Very nice.
Yeah, I got my guy here. He said Holiday is the best player in this draft. He says he's not the same athlete as his brother.
Okay.
He's more power, but likely a third baseman is what this young man. Huh. So that was the scouting report on our potential first overall
pick. But we'll be ready for the MLB draft lottery here.
I'll put him at first base opening day. Or I guess we'd have to wait for a couple of months in.
Fast track it. Yeah. You know, why the bleep not? If the kid's bombing there, well, when we go out there to surprise.
Hey, we've proven we've done that. We're not afraid to bring a guy
out. Worked out with Wyatt Langford, didn't it? Yeah. Okay, what do you think is the cheapest ticket for the college football playoff first round?
The cheapest one?
Cheapest ticket. I got most expensive, and I got the cheapest.
$350.
For which game? So we got Notre Dame, Indiana. We got Ohio State, Tennessee. We got Texas, Clemson, Penn State, SMU.
Ooh, let's see here. Gosh, dang it.
This is tough because Indiana, that's an easy trip for the Indiana Hoosier fans to go to South Bend.
And that is the most expensive ticket in the first round.
I would say Penn State.
So they're sitting there like the cheapest ticket to get into Notre Dame, Indiana.
Tennessee, Ohio State.
$775.
I'm thinking it's Texas. I think it's Texas and Clemson.
$224, cheapest ticket to get into Texas Clemson. Cheapest one if you want to go just to get into the building is Penn State SMU at $103. Yeah. That's what you're looking at right now.
They got a big old stadium too. That's surprising. Why are the kids gone? Is that the problem?
Well, the most expensive ticket's still over $1,000, but that's also the most affordable game to get into for Penn State and SMU. Maybe SMU they don't think it's going to travel that well. I don't know.
Yeah, I think there's
SMU,
that.
Unfortunately, there's not a big student body that's going to go. Yeah. I don't think. Yeah,
and then Penn State. This isn't high demand. We're not a great team that's marching towards the championship. Right. It's a bowl game.
Well, they weirdly got a great run to the semifinal. Like, if they take care of business, the bracket falls well.
Right?
But ultimately, I expect them to fall flat on their face because that's what James Franklin coach teams do. But yes, theoretically, they'd go SMU, Boise State. You'd think Penn State should beat both those teams. But I hope SMU pulls off the upset there.
Both schools coming off a loss.
Yeah.
You know, that I think that just pulls down the enthusiasm.
I was kind of thinking Texas Clemson would be the hottest ticket, but it's not.
Thank you, Woolchuck. Time now to go into the Pimp Cup. Here's Lucius.
Yeah.
G-bag of the day.
Yeah. Hey, so are the Yankees broke?
Broke.
Are they broke? Are they looking funny with the money?
Broke.
I don't think so. They offered a lot.
They did offer a ton of money.
Yeah, I mean, they offered a lot, but they couldn't come off that suite.
But the suite?
They needed that bill. For sure.
That's weird.
You know, I'm pretty sure that wasn't a breaking point for Juan Soto. It just sweetened the deal, if you understand what I'm saying.
Yes, sweetened the deal.
Yeah, he went for that money, and the Mets was dropping that money. But Yankees could have came off a suite. Like, yeah, we got you a suite, bro.
Dude, you think that's simple.
Yeah.
I tell you what, if they had those Mott's cheese balls that Spittle had at his deal Saturday night, that would have got me.
It would have got you.
Yeah. Flaming hot. Huh?
Can you believe we got this full for some cheese balls?
Yeah. One of a kind.
Can you believe it?
Yep, we got Reggie White for cheddar biscuits that one time, it's possible. Anything's possible.
And a whole lot of money.
Yeah, you're right, Lucius.
And a whole lot of money.
You're right about
that. Can't forget that part right there.
Yep.
Yeah, man, because, like, didn't the Yankees kick out Juan Soto's, like, cook or something like that? Disrespect his family at one point
in
time. Yeah, bro.
Put him out the rain.
Give me a sweet, fam. All right, this is day two right here for this clip. Our winner so far comes from the College Game Day set. They were talking to Coach Kirby Smart and the UT coach, Coach Sark. And then Nick Saban jumped in and was like, I don't believe anything you guys are saying.
When you play in a rematch, how do you balance maybe some adjustments you want to make as opposed to anticipating what adjustments they might make?
I think that's a great question. I don't think you overthink it. I think you try to do simple better. Block tackle is what it comes down to. Everybody wants to make it about the scheme, but a lot of times it comes down to the players, not the scheme.
No, I think hit the nail on the head. You know, we always use the analogy. We never want to get paralysis by analysis. You overanalyze, then your players aren't performing the way they can play. So take in the information, then you try to prepare them to go play.
Yeah, well, I think they're both bullshitting us, but.
Yeah, it's funny. Guy Kirby Smart started laughing, and I guarantee he was looking at Saban, like as he was giving his answer. Saban
I thought
was,
so too.
Saban was looking at him like, shh, "What are you doing here?
So full of
what are you doing here?"
Roll
Kirby's
his
seen
eyes.
That look. He's seen that look before. Yeah.
Yeah, I feel you, bro. All right, let's see what I got here for you boys. Yeah, this young lady right here, she was in Atlanta going to the Burger King, hit the drive-thru, and they done shot up the menu.
Uh-oh.
So she can't tell what she wants to eat. She doesn't know what's on the menu at Burger King, you know what I mean? They done shot up the menu.
Yeah, I know, it's the Whopper.
She had a conversation about it with the person in the drive-thru, though.
I'm trying to figure out was...
One second.
What happened to y'all screen?
Don't do that. The lady on the intercom talking about what happened to. Don't do that, man. Y'all don't be in. They did. They shot it up last night.
They shot it up.
Came over here and kept on shooting, baby. Oh. They just kept shooting. I just ducked, went on to the back.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, look how she said, mind your business, mind your business. Yeah. Then just told her everything that happened.
Just order your Whopper with cheese and move on.
Mind your business, girl, mind your business. But yeah, they shot this place up last night. Yeah.
On the intercom, I'm talking about what happened to. Don't do that, man. Y'all don't been. They did. They shot it up last night.
Last night.
Probably ran out of those spicy chicken fingers, you know what I'm saying?
Oof.
It's a fireable offense.
What are you doing shooting up the Burger King, bro? What are you doing? What are you doing? Give me this. Empty it out, bro. Get over here. Calling your mama. Let's see what else we got right here. Okay, this is not one.
Winner.
Yeah, right. Because I can't figure out the date in which it happened. It looked like it says like 5 days ago. But nobody's giving me the info on it. Mm-hmm. Anyway, it looks like there was a dirt track, maybe a derby type vibes, because the car in the background was toe up. Mm-hmm. But there was a kid that won. He's a young kid. And they put a mic in front of his face. You know.
The trophy is tall as you.
Taller, actually.
Hey, who do you want to thank on this?
All the hot moms that drove me to do this.
Hold on. Look in the camera and say that again. Who do you want to thank?
All the hot moms that drove me to do this.
Moms.
Hopped up on Mountain Dew.
I'd say.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Got a future racing.
It's a future Ricky Bobby, dude.
Yeah. All the hot moms shake that told me to do this.
First to last.
Yeah. His dad was standing there with a big old S-eating grin.
Oh, yeah.
He's like, that's my boy.
Yeah.
That's my boy.
We're going to make you a brand.
I'm telling you right now. Hot mom. Tell you. Keep pounding that one, son. Keep pounding that one. I'm going to put that on Instagram. It's going to go up. Let's see what we got here for you, boys.
Going to buy the dang Bush Light plant by the time that kid's
come on, fam. Done. We're going to own this whole town. It's going to be stopping something. Brought us.
Sir.
We're going to go to LSU.
Go Tigers.
Yeah, Kim Mulkey.
Oh, coach. Damn.
Women's head basketball coach.
Coach Kim.
She's not a fan of all the fans leaving early.
Ooh, yeah, we do that at LSU every once in a while.
A little bit of leaving early.
The World Series games, too.
So she called them out because the media tried to do a little trick right here. They tried to ask the player to call out the fans.
Yeah.
And Kim Mulkey was like, no, I got this.
Michaela, you're obviously focused on what's going on the floor. Did you notice that a lot of people left the game?
I did. I took names.
Oh.
I won't see them in church Sunday because I'll be gone, but I'll catch them next Sunday. I saw it. Sure did. We were down, I think, 7 with about a minute and something to go. Some of them turned back around.
Does that make you come back on it? You crazy?
Yeah. You know, once I saw them walking out, I was like, okay, maybe
fair
they
fair were the fans.
Oh.
Let me be the bad guy. I saw who they were.
I took names.
Get him, Kim.
Yeah.
Man.
Kim, don't play, bro.
Should have got me.
No.
I had to school there.
Right before the greatest comeback in women's basketball history.
Exactly.
Unbelievable.
Exactly.
Shout out to Kim. She'd be having like a sequence blazer on out there. Man.
We spent a lot of money on her outfits.
Ruby red sneakers. Kim is a wild girl.
There's no place like home.
Yeah. All right, yeah. I got more, but we ain't got time. Let's
Here
go.
We go. Is it Nick Saban, our G-Bag of the Day champ? They're both BSing us. Is it a BK drive-thru? Is it a dirt track young kid winner? Or is it LSU's Kim Mulkey? I'm going to stay with the champ, Chief.
I would never vote for Burger King, but I'm going to make an exception.
Okay. Lucius.
Let's go.
Ooh. I'm going to go ahead. Nick Saban.
It's 2-1. We'll
Somebody
check.
Called him Nick Satan the other day in my timeline. I was like, dang, dog.
Yeah.
See, yeah, used to do that.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's what South Florida headlines in the newspaper read when he said, I'm not going to be the coach at Alabama. And then the next day, there he was getting off the plane in Tuscaloosa.
That might be a Florida boy in my timeline.
Give me the BK Lounge.
Brian?
Let's go to the champ.
By a score of 3-2. And still, your G-Bag of the Day champion, it's Nick Saban. All right. It is the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, shouldn't the Cowboys make this move with the starting lineup? Is it time? It's next in the Nation. All righty. Thank you, Lucius. We're reacting to the Cowboys here with you. Mike McCarthy's press conference coming up at 3:45. That's the normal time for Krusty's Corner with Brian Broaddus. He has a full film report prepared. So we'll get that, you know, around the McCarthy presser and through the 4 o'clock segment as well. So from about 3:45 to 4:15, 4:20 or so, you're going to get some really compact and condensed hardcore Cowboy reaction from both Mike and Broaddus. Okay, you're running it very well now. Cooper Rush was terrible and, you know, maybe getting worse. I thought he was getting better, but, you know, I think all he's really doing is avoiding throwing interceptions, and that's speeding him up because he's trying to get the ball out and he's missing lots of stuff. And then the accuracy started to take a big hit last night. I don't know. Maybe at 8 losses, you know, this won't click in the coaching staff's mind, but at 9, it would. I would just like to see Trey Lance. I think your best chances of avoiding a 9th loss are running it with Rico Dowdle and running it with Trey Lance. I don't think it's in the passing game at all right now, Brian. And whatever passing game you can get, I don't think Trey's going to throw it any worse than Cooper Rush did last night.
Yeah, I think the fact that you're eliminated really out of the playoffs, well, I mean, they still talk, what, like 1% or 0.2%. I don't even know what it is, but as far as I'm concerned, you're eliminated. So now just, you know, take an opportunity, and you're absolutely right. You're playing with an offensive line that, you know, is got some young players that are getting experience in it. Running the ball will probably help them. Rico Dowdle is, if you look at the last, you know, 3 games, I think he's the 2nd leading rusher in the National Football League. You know, and I think that says a lot for where Dallas, for where they once were when it came to running the football.
I think he's getting better too.
I think he is too.
I think he absolutely is.
I think he absolutely is. And he looks like he's not beat up yet or anything like that. So these last 3 games, the Carolina game is going to be tough just because Carolina's still trying to win games. You know, they're trying, and so it's going to be a tough matchup for you. But then you play Tampa, Philly, you know, Commanders, all those teams are playing for some type of playoff to win a division. Seeding, wherever you want to do. I mean, those games are going to be tough. So, yeah, I mean, to me, I throw a wrinkle at him.
Plus, we need to, like, look at him as a potential backup quarterback.
I agree on that, too.
Yes, you know, it's right now a wasted 4th. And then we asked, you know, Steven about that a few weeks ago. If he doesn't play a snap, do you think that you got the return on that 4th-round pick? He said yes. Now, the justification was, well, we didn't know what was going to happen with Dak. To me, that's like a root issue with this organization. I don't know what the plan is. I don't know if they know what the plan is. They're giving away 4th-round picks like it's Oprah on a Christmas holiday special here, and yet their team-building philosophy is draft, right? That's how we're going to build this thing. We're going to draft and develop. Well, they've hit on some 4th-round picks in the past. Dorrance Armstrong was a guy that had 4 good years for you here. You got production from him. That was a 4th-rounder, was it not? Now you got Jonathan Mingo, got 11 targets, 2 catches, 10 yards. Trey Lance, they're never going to play him. It doesn't make any sense to me. So I'm with you. I think you need to at least see what you got. I don't think he's going to be good. I think they know he's not good. And that's why they really aren't going to play him. They know what they have in him. And he threw 5 interceptions in a preseason game. I don't think Trey Lance is an NFL quarterback. But still, at least put him out there and let's see. Maybe he outperforms any of our expectations, even their expectations. You know what you have in Cooper Rush. You got to get a backup quarterback for next year. You know you don't have to worry about the league poaching away Cooper Rush. He was a free agent. The Raiders were the only team that showed interest. He came right back. Maybe Lance is a guy that you look at as a backup quarterback
for you. Could they not be playing Lance and thinking that if he doesn't play, nobody knows if he's good or bad, and he'll automatically come back to you? Because nobody will make the effort. By not showcasing him at all, say he does play very well these last four games, then all of a sudden it's like, wow, teams might be interested in this guy. And then you would get the compensatory out of that.
Yeah, that's what I would think. Like,
But to me, they might be looking at it like, if we don't play him at all, we could get him on the cheap as a guy to come back.
They could also be looking at it like, if we don't play him, then the league won't know how bad he is, and maybe they give him $8 million or something, you know, yeah. And then it's a significant compensatory.
Yeah, that's possible too.
You know,
yeah.
there's a couple of different ways to play it. I would just think right now, there's no doubt in my mind that our best offensive opportunity is just to run it and run it some more and zig while the rest of the league is at
it. I agree on that too.
Yeah. I mean, I'm more with Wolchuk on, like, I think he's going to just show that he can't really play. But, I mean, Cooper Rush's next gen chart was hilarious last night because it was everything was to the right of the field. He had one completion to the left side of the hash.
Yeah.
And then the rest were a few completions in the middle, and then everything was just completed to the right.
But I think your guys' thoughts on Rush are remembering him as a guy that was trying to figure out the offense, playing in the passing game in the preseason.
Yes, on Lance, my bad.
Yeah. So if you build the offense differently and say, we're only going to pass when we get open looks, and we're going to scheme opportunities for you, and, you know, if it's not wide open, run the ball. You know, I think that's your best pass
agreed.
To victory.
I mean, that would be like, hey, you've got a competent head coach and play caller like they do in Green Bay with Matt LaFleur. So yeah. I've got Malik Willis here for a few games. Let's go ahead and just change this offense. And this is a quarterback that he's going to run around. Why should we have any faith in this coaching staff right now to be able to do that with Mike McCarthy? He doesn't want to change how he's calling the game plan with Cooper Rush. And you got a Rico Dowdle who's having the best game of his entire career running for 130 yards. But let's not run the damn football. So I agree with what you're saying. I just don't think I have any faith in them to be able to execute that plan.
All right. I have a few more questions on the running back situation for you, though. But I guess we got some news on Overshown there at the break, right? I should have let out with that. No meniscus damage, no nerve damage.
Yeah,
that's right. Yeah. You have Jordan Schultz tweeting that out just a few minutes ago. No meniscus damage. And he said the articular surface looks good, whatever that means. And in other words, no nerve damage. The most ideal situation, he says, would be that Overshown begins the 2025 season on the PUP list, 9 to 10 month rehab with the hope of being activated midseason.
I'll take it.
That would be the biggest win ever.
Yeah, absolutely.
Based on the news that we got today.
I would assume that he misses next season. I was looking like Navarro Bowman with San Francisco had the same injury. It was the 2014 NFC Championship game. So granted, that's like the difference of maybe four to six weeks.
Yeah.
But he missed the whole next season, then came back and was still a very good player the following year. But hey, who knows? Maybe Overshown's a freak alien. He does get back from midseason. That'd be a dream.
Yeah, you know, I'm sure he's going to put in all the work. He did a great job recovering from the last one.
Mm-hmm.
Man, it's tough to imagine right now that he has a long and great career. So hopefully when he does come back, you're prepared to make the absolute most of it in a short period of time. You know, that's the way I would approach it anyway. And, you know, some of the plays that he was making last night, the way he was flying around, I feel like he is breaking into stardom.
Hmm.
Is that too much to say about the guy?
That's 100%.
Yeah, he really was starting to figure things out as far as how to be a pass rusher, you know, how to be an off-ball linebacker.
Playing in coverage,
tackling in space, all these things that you kind of were like, wow, okay, look at him. You know, look at all these things that he missed, you know, when he was out. And man, he hit the ground running and literally they started using him as a blitzer. He was getting pressures. You know, there was so many things that you could use him for. And I think it's so unfortunate that this season has now come to an end because he was really starting to peak with his ability to make plays.
Any change to your guys' thoughts on Dowdle in the draft? Do you want him as a starter next year?
I think as a complimentary piece, absolutely. I think so. I mean, maybe it Maybe it does
take a little pressure off a bell cow.
I think so. If you know you don't have a fourth round pick, maybe you get a fourth round pick back some way, hook or crook. We're looking at this draft right now. I know I've looked at the Gente Johnson from Iowa, our North Carolina
Judkins at Ohio State's really good. Hampton in North Carolina. See,
they've got some names, so maybe instead of looking at maybe as a first round guy or second round guy, you're kind of more into the third. And if you could find a way to get that fourth back, maybe that's the area you might want to grab a guy.
I'm totally open to Rico as a starter.
Absolutely.
I still would draft a guy, though. I think you need some help there.
A little more speed.
Yeah.
Home run guy, maybe catch it out of the backfield type dude.
Yep.
Okay, what's next, Zach?
All right, so NFL news of the day, the city of not-so-brotherly love, a Panthers first, and Debo gets hit by the community notes. That's next.